Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. Here it is, August 21st already. Man, we are closing in on Labor Day, school starting, all sorts of stuff. So, let's see. We got lots of stuff to talk about today. I am not going to finish the session of generator talk that we had last week. Ed from Ypsilanti called in. I actually did not get power back until Tuesday evening. So that was six full days. And I got to say, my preparedness came in very handy. So very happy with I wish it had been less, but it's still, I was able to keep everything cold and everything except the air conditioning works. So let's see. We have got the Monroe Gun and Knife Show today, which is a good one. I always liked going down to that one. Now, I looked it up because it said it's at First Merchants Bank Expo Center. I thought, what the heck is that? Is that a new place? But I looked it up. It's still the same old place. It's on Custer Road. I think they just sold the naming of it to somebody else. So that's a good one. That is today and tomorrow down in Monroe, Michigan. That's pretty close. In Ohio, there's the Lake County Gun Show in Painesville, Ohio. Missouri's got the Red Shed. Now, Red Shed, when I think of Red Shed, I think of International Harvester or Farm All Tractors. You know, they have a, if it ain't red, leave it in the shed. And I'm an International man, okay? Not one of those namby-pamby John Deere kind of guys. I'm an International guy, a Farm All guy, actually. So I think of the Red Shed as being a tractor show, but it is a gun show, the Red Shed Gun Show in Doolittle, Missouri. And that always reminds me of Jimmy Doolittle, so everybody who knows the Doolittle Raid. And then we got the Kansas City Gun Show, the KCI Expo Center, and nothing in New York, nothing till September 11th. So the numbers are still the same. We're at 758,655 CPLs. So I've been watching. Can you believe there's some things? I started my show prep earlier in the week, and there were some interesting stories. Feinstein and Blumenthal are introducing a bill targeting Arms List. Well, what's Arms List? ArmsList.com is kind of like a Craigslist, but for arms. And, of course, anything that is available online has to go through proper vetting and proper FFLs and things like that. And but Bloom Feinstein, God, she's like 117, isn't she? She's still out there. She is like the oldest person around. And by the way, do you recall that she happens to be a CPL holder and had a 38 special? So that's, I don't know if she still does. I think maybe they, you know, she barely can handle her pudding out on the screen porch with their blankets on her knees watching her shows. But they still let her make laws. And here she's introducing a bill targeting Arms List and talking about how the only way to reduce the scourge of gun violence plaguing our communities is to close these loopholes that allow prohibited people to obtain guns. You know, I don't think, Diane, that it's a whole lot of internet play. I think you should look in your own backyard, in your own back streets. That's where the guns are coming from that are being used in these, all this gun violence out there. It's not the people buying them through dealers or at respectable, you know, brick and mortar gun stores or even the online ones, but the online ones have some rules, okay? Like, for example, if you order something from RK Guns or from Gun Broker or something, they have to be sent to a gun dealer who will then do a proper vetting and fill out the proper background checks, and then you get to buy the gun, just as if you were at a regular store buying a gun. There's no loopholes and things like that. Now, are there people that may be flaunting this and doing something different? I got to say, I have seen some things that surprise me sometimes. Even on, the marketplace on Facebook and stuff like that, where somebody will show selling a empty Smith & Wesson case for $20, okay? And then it doesn't give any details and stuff, and it's like private messenger me. Well, I think that there may be some people that are trying to work around some laws, but I don't think that's the majority. And by the way, when they go and catch these guys, which they, by the way, let go fairly quickly, they sometimes without even bail, that guy that shot the guy that did the straw purchase, that the guy then shot the cop in Chicago, they let him out on bail the next day. Okay. I mean, you know, so what? Just a cop, you know. So I want to say, putting the people back on the streets and not enforcing the laws we have that are the problem, not the fact that somebody's buying something through the internet. Okay. By the way, you know the old saying, when things are going on, watch what they're doing with the other hand. Okay. Do you know, this is brand new, this just came out today, it was signed yesterday by Joe. Well, Joe may have auto-signed it or something. I don't even know if he can sign his name anymore, but Joe just signed a proposed, or let me see, the Biden, I can't talk this morning. The Biden administration just signed an order to limit the importation of Russian guns and ammo. Now, why did they do this? This is supposed to hurt Russia, okay? And in reality, Joe Biden just found a way to give a big third finger to the American gun owners who are looking to buy decent guns and decent ammo at a reasonable price. Now, you can't tell me that, and do you know why they're doing this? They claim it's because it is in response to the anniversary. They, you know, the Dems always do this. They pick an anniversary. You know, every day is an anniversary of something, okay? And so many times it's like, oh my gosh, how can they talk about this? It's the 17th anniversary of something or other. And it's like, 17th? What do you... Every year it's something, okay? Now, there's some biggies like 10, 20, 30, 50 years, something like that. But you're telling me that we're now in honor of the anniversary of the poisoning of Alexei Navalny in August of 2020, okay? And that was the Russian government supposedly poisoned him and his daughter, okay? In honor of that, they are imposing new sanctions on Russian nationalists and businesses, and it's to stop the importation of Russian firearms and Russian ammunition into the United States. Now, I want to say, first of all, do they think that's actually punishing the Russians? I'm sure the Russians can find anybody, you know, especially... probably Afghanistan. Well, no, the Afghanistan Taliban there all has a bunch of U.S. arms. So okay, they got $82 billion worth of arms and equipment when we abandoned Afghanistan. They don't need to be buying any Russian ammo. So maybe that's not a good outlet for it. But do you actually think that that's... They'll just sell it to somebody else who will import it from another country, okay, from the Ukraine or from... some other country that'll work as a puppet, and Tula ammunition will become something else, okay? Won't be Russian anymore. It'll then be Ukrainian ammo. Oh, that's okay. But so the actual wording of this is the new sanctions imposed yesterday, just yesterday. So remember this. Watch what the other hand is doing. Whole bunch of Afghanistan stuff going on, you know, mask stuff going on. And by the way, let's just slip in restrictions on the permanent imports of certain Russian firearms, new and pending permit applications for permanent importation of firearms, and ammunition manufactured or located in Russia will be the subject of this policy of denial. And so what it actually turns into is, if, and it won't happen immediately, okay? What's going to happen is all these companies that are importing, you know, Tula ammo and Barnall ammo, and actually there's some ammo that is, you know, labeled with American certificates and stuff, but they are steel-cased ex-Soviet ammo. They may have a certificate now that allows that importation. Maybe it's good for 2 years. Maybe it's almost ready to expire next month or a year from now. And so what will happen is they'll be able to continue to export into the U.S., and the importers can bring it in until that certificate expires. But then, and by the way, they all expire. They're not open-ended, okay? So then what will happen is suddenly that'll dry up. And it'll be like, what happened? Why is there no more Tula ammo? Why is there no more? Now, by the way, I'm not that fan, big a fan of the Russian ammo, but it's not the best for precision. It works absolutely fine at the range. It's absolutely fine in many of the like the AKs and SKSs and stuff like that that are kind of like looser and they don't have a real tight chamber. So some of the lacquer coatings and things like that, even the polymer coatings don't build up and jam the gun. But it still is a outstanding backup ammo to have. I have a few rounds, okay, of that. And so I'm just saying, how can you justify this kind of stuff? Well, remember that it is, first of all, it's the anniversary of the poisoning of Alexei Navalny. What else could you do but ban the ammunition sales into the U.S.? But remember, watch what the other hand's doing. Let's see, American gun. Oh, this makes me laugh. Okay, I'm going to put this one up on my website when I, because I put up memes periodically, and this one has an American, clearly a Caucasian gentleman, and he's wearing a headscarf, and he's got a clearly obvious fake beard on, and he's wearing kind of the dirty pajamas look. Clothing of the Taliban, and it says American gun owners pose as Taliban in hopes of receiving free weapons from the government. That's what I just mentioned. $82 billion, that's with a B, dollars worth of ammunition, equipment, small arms, Humvees, MRAPs, all that kind of airplane. You know, the only good thing is that in the Afghani army, and I would imagine the Taliban would be a similar demography of people. Do you know that only 10% of the people can read, and only like 6% of the people can actually sign their name? Okay, so they may be able to drive a Humvee or an MRAP, but they're not going to be flying any of those Blackhawks that they left over. Well, they might, because they'll probably get Chinese. They'll probably send the Chinese drone or the drones and the Blackhawks and stuff with all the encoded information and the stealth technology and stuff. They'll probably send that to the Chinese. So, how do we get back to guns here? Let's see. Feds bust the rapper, and this is a Detroit story. Interesting, according to the Detroit News, there's a rapper, a 19-year-old Detroit rapper who goes by the name of Lil, that's L-I-L, Mello, and he was busted this week, and he admitted it too, He was busted. The cops, he was stepping out of his car, and the cops saw inside the car a magazine and the butt of a pistol sticking out of a brown paper bag. And officers were familiar with Johnson from previous contacts. Okay, that means they knew about him, okay? And they knew he was only 19 and that he was ineligible at 19 to be able to get a concealed carry permit. But he also flagrantly uses marijuana, okay? In his videos, there's pictures of him smoking marijuana and playing with guns, okay? So, you know what? They said, you can't do that. And they go, well, wait a minute. It's legal in Michigan. Well, remember, Michigan is flaunting itself against the federal laws that still have marijuana. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, still have marijuana illegal. So technically, even if he could own a handgun, because you can't buy a handgun till you're 21, but you can own one. Okay, that's kind of an interesting thing. So you could be given one or gifted one or something like that, but you can't have those things and be a marijuana user. So it's interesting that, and this is kind of a high profile thing where you're flaunting it, and then a guy comes to, the attention of the police, and they actually uphold the laws. So be interesting to see what happens with that. Let's see. Here's a question. And by the way, I would like to just talk about guns, but there's too much going on these days. Does the PLCAA apply to other nations' lawsuits? What's that? That's the Legal Commerce in Arms Act that says that the protection of the Legal Commerce in Arms Act that says that if the companies are making a legal product, then you cannot sue them for what somebody does illegally with it. So it's like this happened a couple of weeks ago. There was a judge out in California that allowed some people to sue Smith & Wesson because the Smith & Wesson products were used in a criminal act. But they were stolen guns, and that you cannot hold the manufacturer accountable for those type of things, because it's just like if somebody steals a car and or drives drunk in a car and goes and kills somebody or gets in an accident, it's not Ford Motor Company's fault or General Motors' fault or Toyota's fault. It's the fault of the person driving the vehicle, okay? Same thing for guns. And they have protections that are supposed to keep people from being able to sue guns, okay, or gun companies. Well, that is still a law right now, and actually some judges are flaunting it. But the question is, what about other countries? Now, did you not hear about this, but that Mexico was planning on suing the United States gun manufacturers for all those guns that have found their way into the Mexican drug cartels and stuff? So how can another country sue? Are they covered by that PLCAA, or are they free to just sue however they want to try to put somebody out of business? You know that that clearly that's the anti-gunners behind it that are pushing this. So very interesting. Another story that I read. Now, this one maybe I'll get some calls on. It is funny because I was reading this story, and then it makes me think of all the times, how many times, and it's actually a meme also. It has a picture of a swear jar. Well, you know where people have a jar that if they say a cuss word, that they have to put a dollar in the jar or something, and they use it at the end of the year or whatever. Well, this meme has a jar, but it actually says, wait a second, it says spotting gun errors in movies. Now, How many times, I do this with airplanes too, and cars, but more so with airplanes and guns. When, I'm watching a war movie and they're clearly showing, they're talking about the attack at Pearl Harbor or something, and they show Japanese dive bombers nose over, which, by the way, most of those were actually Texans that, and BT-13s that were converted into VALs and stuff like that. But they nose over, and then they show a picture of a U.S. Dauntless diving on. So I hate it when the airplane movies are so inaccurate, okay? But I also hate it when gun movies are inaccurate. And you want to think about it, can't they... They certainly can have some technical experts who will help people with this. Well, I was reading about a couple of them. First of all, was the award for the shortest double barrel in history, okay? And this is a movie called Killing Them Softly, and it stars Brad Pitt, okay? And there's a couple of sequences in it that are really funny. The actual picture, and I'll put this up on the web too, is of a guy, he's got like a nylon over his head, and he's got a double barrel receiver. And it's actually, the barrels have been cut off so that it is actually shorter. There's about a half an inch of shotgun cartridge sticking out. And you can see the crimps on the end. Now, it looks cool for the movie. You go, wow, what is that? That's really cool. But I'm thinking, how effective is that going to be? So here we have it's actually got the shell sticking out. So it's a side-by-side receiver with 12-gauge shotgun shells in it. Now I got to believe whoever said this is so outrageous. Let's see if we can get away with this in the movie. So they put it in, and it's actually got the ends of the shotgun shells sticking out of the quote barrels. Okay, and then there was another scene where he is making Brad Pitt's making his first hit. He's a hitman, and he's got a semi-automatic 9mm, I forget what it was, but they showed it several times they showed him doing the hit, and then they showed several times in really slow motion of the gun functioning and ejecting the shell and stuff. But it is obvious that the shells are blanks, okay, because they are the shape of 9mm blanks. They have a crimped end on them and stuff. I mean, it's like you couldn't just do, fake a scene and do it with some real ammo. So you got some real 9mm shells ejecting from this semi-automatic handgun. No, you have to do it and you're showing the blanks. That's ridiculous. Okay. Then there's another one that I got a kick of. It was, shows a woman, she's holding an AR-15 derivative, short barrel, probably a 7-inch barrel or something like that, pretty short barrel. And she has the suppressor on the end, not a suppressor, but a flash hider on the end. And it's a flash hider slash kind of compensator. It's installed upside down. So the openings on the bird cage are down. So two things that would do, as a compensator, it would tend to cause the muzzle to rise. And also, if you're anywhere near the ground, it will cause the dirt and dust to fly up around you. So it's just... So I love spotting things like that. Now, I don't know about you, if you got any particular movies that you really hate what they're showing, then I'd like to hear about that. Also, some of the things when they had the tough guys from the gun, from like Antifa Antifa and BLM guys, and they showed them this summer, they had... pictures of them, and guys were walking around with AR-15s and stuff, and they clearly had their optics on backwards, okay? They had, anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. We'll be right back.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I knew somebody would take the bait. We've got Phil from Detroit online to talk about stupid gun usage in movies. Hi, Phil.
Boy, it drives me nuts. I've got it worse than you have. I yell at the top of my lungs when I see this stuff. I actually saw a major Hollywood production. Don't recall what it was, but they were showing a slow motion of the round going down the range.
Yep.
Towards the target. And they're showing a complete cartridge, not a bullet, but the whole cotton pick. And you can see the primer and everything flying down range.
You're kidding.
No, I couldn't make this crap up. I blew the windows out of the house yelling. And then, if you recall, Valdez is coming.
What's that?
Valdez is coming. Burt Lancaster.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent movie. And he loads his own. He's got his bullet mold, and he's melting his lead and everything, casting his own slugs for his long-range buffalo gun. And he's leaving his cartridges behind as his signature, okay? I mean, you can melt more lead, make more bullets, and you got your flash full of powder, but you can't replace that casing, okay? And he's leaving them behind. Outrageous.
Oh, that's amazing. I got to say, there are some, there was one I get a kick out of. And, of course, the whole movie was tongue-in-cheek. It was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's on everybody's S list this day, this week. But it's called True Lies, and it was where he plays the spy. And you remember when he... she's holding on to like a Mac 10 or something like that and drops it, and it goes down a stairs, and it's going around and around as it comes down the stairs, and it just keeps firing like hundreds of rounds, and it kills all the bad guys on its own. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. I don't know. I think they've done that in other features too. But a minute ago, you were talking about the lawsuit against the Bushmasters for the Sandy Hook, I think you were talking about.
Yeah, that's so one of the ones that they were going after.
I saw it when the news was breaking, okay? I looked it up online, okay? And Matt Lauer's desk over there was the one that was broadcasting all over the world, and his man on the street, on the scene, interviewing the chief investigator, law officer, right there at the school, on the scene, at the time, and he was showing that none of the long guns ever left his mom's trunk.
Okay.
There were no long guns in the building, period. And if they could look up that archive, they scrubbed it. I haven't got it anymore, but I tried to save it on my laptop here.
Really?
But I saw it. There's no doubt about it. I got in my archival notes, I've got the notes of the people that were interviewing the officer's name and everything like that. It really happened that way. But they scrubbed it all and rewrote their version of the truth. And what else did they do? If anybody wants them to prove that there were long guns in the building, let's see the school security camera footage.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, when the subject about movies and the things that they do, you got to appreciate movies like We Were Soldiers, where they had
good
technical
one.
Advisors and stuff and how much does it cost to actually pay just a technical advisor to advise on the proper gun and the proper ammunition and showing?
I'd have done it gratis, okay?
Yeah, I'd do it for free. I want to say I'm not one of these guys that will say like, wait a minute, you're showing that guy with the in 1873, and he's using an 1895 Winchester, and that didn't come out till years. I'm not going to be that picky. At least he's using a lever gun, you know.
You know what was very accurate as far as everything goes, all the technical stuff, was that movie The Highwaymen about the the guys that went and got Bonnie and Clyde?
Yes. And I enjoyed that because he goes in that gun shop and he's going, oh, look at that. And look at that. The guy goes, which one you take?
And
he goes, all of them. I love it. So, well, hey, thanks for the call today, Phil. Appreciate your listenership there.
All right. God bless. Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Now, that was Phil from Detroit. And speaking of Detroit, I looked, and this is pretty interesting. There's a guy that I interviewed, I want to say maybe 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. It was right about when I was getting started doing the radio show. And it was a guy who was doing a thing called, it was not charity really, but it was a free training event for women in Detroit to learn how to shoot and learn how to defend themselves. And his name is Rick Ector. And that's Rick, E-C-T-O-R, Rick Ector. And he actually has Rick's Firearm Academy of Detroit. And I want to say there's an awful lot of people. Obviously, there were 8 million people, new gun owners last year, who bought guns to be for self-defense and things like that. And now what? Okay, so you have to have some sort of a training. I mean, obviously, Rick could be a good movie technical advisor because sometimes you look at the way people are even holding guns in the movie and you go, I can't believe it. But in real life, just because you bought a firearm doesn't mean that you know what to do. And so he started this program 10 years ago. And the first year they trained 50 women. Last year they trained more than 1,900 women participated. And this year they're hoping to train 4,000 women in this event where they're for first-time shooters. And so I want to say hats off to Rick Ector, and he continues to do this every year because, and he actually, he first became a firearm advocate when he was robbed at gunpoint in his Detroit driveway. And that inspired him to provide free training for women after watching a television news report 10 years ago. So I want to say hats off to him. The training Ector offers would cost more than $100 if a participant rents a gun, and they do it all for free. And they get donations for the ammunition and stuff. So it's an outstanding thing that that he is doing. And the people of Detroit, you know, Chief Craig, who is running for governor as a Republican against Gretchen Whitmer, he was one of the first advocates in Detroit to actually step up and say, buy yourself a gun, learn how to use it. You know, so, and do you recall the videos that were, oh, they're like security and doorbell camera videos and stuff of, there was a woman where three boys came into her house and she goes chasing them out with a high point 9mm carbine. I said, yes, that's what we need. Okay. So, it's pretty cool. To watch this grow. And I want to say to have had Rick on when he was just getting started. I've had a lot of different guests on, and I do want to say I was pleased to see him sticking with it over the years like this. So let's see. I was thinking about, and I think Derek's typing something. I got to see. Let's see. Jim from Westland is on the phone about ammo. Yeah, Jim, what's up?
Yeah, I'm a fairly new to shooting. I've had a pistol about 2 years and a rifle for about a year. And at the beginning, a couple of years ago, you could get ammunition, you know, fairly easy. And then when I got the rifle a year ago, I was buying it from SIG, the ammunition. But then that's kind of all dried up. As I'm looking, you know, the one thing is like on the 556, is there a defense round versus like a practice round? You know, you don't see the difference like with a pistol. And then what is the difference in pistol bullets? Because I went to a range and they ran a magnet over everything. What do I look for when it says to buy that can't be non-magnetic?
And some of the ammunition is actually getting more prevalent now. Now, if you want to, I'll tell you what, there's a place that you can go to buy some ammo if you can't find it. And I it's a consolidation site, and it kind of like checks hundreds of places all over the country and stays, you know, right up to like to the minute on their inventory. It's called ammobuy.com, ammobuy.com. And you'll be able to find everything from practice ammo to self-defense ammo. Now, when it comes to what you were experiencing at the ranges, what they're trying to do is check to see if you have steel core or steel jacketed bullets, because they're just trying to protect their equipment. Because what happens is those tend to be hard on range target holders. They tend to ricochet. They're fine with copper. They're fine with lead, but they don't want the steel cased bullets. Okay. Not the case, but the projectile itself. Some of them are like, they may look copper, but they're actually copper washed. And you see that a lot on Russian ammo and some of the other imported ammo. Old surplus ammo a lot of times is steel projectiles, okay? But now, 5.56, I want to say there are indeed ammo made specifically for self-defense. I have some in some of my ready-go bag kind of magazines that I keep ready. And Hornady makes one called TAP, T-A-P. And they're more expensive, but they actually have an initiator in a red tip initiator on the projectile that initiates expansion, so that you're not just making little holes through things, that it actually expands in what you're shooting. Okay.
Okay.
So Hornady TAP is a good brand. If you want to, what caliber handgun did you get?
9mm.
Okay. Have you ever been to my website, the TriggerTalkRadio.com website?
I don't think, you know, I go and look at the podcast, but I don't think I've ever, you know, listened to the podcast, but I've never gone to the website.
Well, great. You're almost there then. What you want to do is go to where you get the podcast and stuff, that TriggerTalkRadio.com, and look down the right side of the page, and you'll see where it'll talk about articles. And there's one called Ballistic Tests.
Okay.
And then you click on the one, there's 9mm and 40 and 45 and 22. And so click on the one for 9mm and you'll see the best performing 9mm ammunition in what is the equivalent of ballistic gel tests. And then also a test that we do when we fire it through an equivalent and replicates firing through a bone, like we were using pork ribs to actually simulate and validate the test medium that we use. So it shows how it would work and expand going through a bone or just in ballistic gel. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I've heard that you talked to the guy, Joe from Northville. From Northville. It does
Tom
from testing.
Yeah, Tom from Northville. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can figure out, but you are good. It's good to ask about, because most of the 5.56 ammo that you find is full metal jacket, or occasionally soft point, or occasionally a little tiny hollow point on it. Actually, what you're counting on is enough velocity and not expansion, if not hydraulic expansion, to do the tearing up that you're trying to do in a self-defense mode. But you can actually find specific 5.56 or 223 or 5.56 self-defense rounds. Hornady TAP, T-A-P. Okay?
Okay. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thank you for listening.
I look forward to it every week. Thank you for what you do.
Good. Thanks for calling today. Appreciate it.
All right.
We've got Tom from Detroit on the phone about gun mistakes in movies. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Fine. Yeah, the one I was thinking of is, I don't know if you ever watched Wanted Dead or Alive, the good guy bounty hunter. He's got this it's a cut down lever action rifle. The stock's cut off, the barrel's real short. It's got the tubular magazine. He's got a real fancy holster for it. And, with the cartridge belt on there, and it looks like he's got, about a 40-70 cartridges in there. I mean, they're big, they're long. And I'm looking at that gun, I'm thinking, how do you even get more than two in that magazine? But yet he's ripping off, five or six real quick from the hip whenever he goes to get in a gunfight. Not every time, but, it's just...
I know. And I've actually heard people, they've counted with, the beginning of The Rifleman, they count, what Lucas McCain's walking down, and he does that thing where he rotates the gun around and cocks it, which is so cool, I gotta say. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And then they count the number of bangs they hear, and they people there's like a whole forum where people are like, no, I only heard five, I heard six, but at least he gives you that look, and he takes the cartridges out of his shirt pocket and reloads the gun. And I got to say, now I really like that one, but I don't know how accurate it is. So
there's another guy. You got Paladin. Which one is that?
Have Gun Will Travel.
I saw one time. Usually at the beginning of that show, they'll have him. He draws his gun and cocks it and says something. That he's going to say later on in the show. One time he actually drew his gun and he fired it. But what he did was as he was pulling the gun out of the holster, he cocked it, and then he pushes it forward and fires while he's pushing it forward, like to try to get an extra 50, 75 feet per second out of the round. I thought that was a neat thing, but you'd have to be pretty good at shooting from the hip though to pull that off.
I have seen that technique in movies at times, usually with untrained people that are, they actually are like pushing the gun forward, like they're throwing the shells out. And I want to say, didn't anybody even give you any advice on how to look realistic? And of course, that's like the turning the guns, the ghetto gun sights that are on the sides of the Glock.
I think it's best to look at least look at your front sight blade and get some idea of where it's going to be going before you pull the trigger. But I mean there are guys that can shoot from the hip that are good, so
well, very
I'm
good
not
thank
one
you
of
for
them,
calling
but...
in today. I appreciate that.
Okay. Have a good day then.
Okay. Oh, Jeff, another comment to make?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. You have a good day,
like
too. I'll talk to you next week,
gone.
Okay?
Bye. Okay. Bye.
I'm happy to hear in the minutes we got left other people's favorite gun mistakes. I was going to talk about, and this is interesting, I was talking to a neighbor this past week, and we were talking about, or actually it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about firearms, and we happened to talk about he has a 22 Hornet. And I was very interested in the history of the 22 Hornet. And actually it's one of the first, fast, high-velocity varmint guns that came out. For people who don't know what a 22 Hornet is, it is a rimmed bottleneck with a very shallow, like a 5-degree neck. So it gets slender, so it's bottleneck, but it's not with a big pronounced shoulder like so many of the fire projectiles that people use for varmints or hunting. And it's pretty interesting that the actual cartridge was spawned, I guess is a word, about in 1885. So it's an old school cartridge. And it actually started out as a black powder cartridge. And it's one of the few that is still around. You know, there were several. The Winchester centerfire, which we call the 30-30, is one of those that started out as a black powder cartridge. And then they also came out with the Winchester 22 WCF or Winchester center fire. So it's a pretty small cartridge, but it's got like a 45 grain bullet in it, that a projectile in it. And it had like 13 grains of black powder, and it was doing about 1,550 feet per second, which is pretty respectable for back in the 1885 period, okay? But nowadays, with better cartridges or better powders and things like that, there are loads out there that are 45 grain bullets that are zipping along at 2,400 feet per second. So, and that's partly because of better bullets. You know, actually before they were just like lead flat nose. Now they're actually jacketed and hollow points and have initiators in them and things like that. But I do want to say I have found an appreciation for some of the older cartridges. And, I think that, that's one of the ones that I'm going to think about looking for is a 22 Hornet, because It is a 22 that's reloadable. It is not so powder intensive. I have a 22-250. It's got a huge case, neck down to 22, and a lot of powder, and it zips along at 3,700 to 4,200 feet per second. But this would be more reasonable, and it's actually, they still make them. You can still buy 22 Hornet, and they still make the guns. Matter of fact, it's real popular in Europe, believe it or not. They call it, the Germans call it a 5.6 by 35R, and CZ still builds their premium 527 Lux in it. So a lot of people are still shooting this in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, things like that. It's not so popular in the U.S. where other ones like 223s or 5.56 by 45 have taken over. Whereas in other countries that they are actually still using this and reloading for it. There's actually a company that's kind of done a takeoff on it that they call a 22 K Hornet. It's got more of a pronounced shoulder, but I don't think I would want that. I would want an original 22 Hornet, and you can get the 45 grain bullets for it. You can use like if you're using you're only using 10 to 13 grains of powder in it, so you actually are getting a lot of bang for the buck when you're using up a powder of that or a pound of that hard to get powder that you are searching for out there. So pretty cool. There is Winchester also loads a 20 grain polymer tip bullet at 3,650 feet per second. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, so a lot of fun today. We talked about guns. Let's challenge for next week. Write a note down and think of the movies that you get a kick out of about the gun inaccuracies, and we'll talk about them next week. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. See you next week.